Again, please, to Genesis chapter 24. I will readily admit that we got to one verse and we've been there almost 2 weeks. But I think that what we are considering, the prayer of the servant of God, is exceedingly important. And as we remarked before, when Abraham commissioned him, he didn't say anything about praying. But the servant of God knew that he needed to pray. And so, we're going to look further at that prayer, or at the subject of prayer, please. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 24 and read from verse 1. And it is nice to, I know everybody knows it, can almost say it from memory, but it's good to go over the Word of God. As you get in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God has a cleansing effect on us. So the more you read even the same chapter, the more cleansing you get. Genesis chapter 24, please. Verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and we spoke about old people. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Isn't that nice? To be blessed in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant, Abraham was old and he called on his oldest servant. A lot of old people in this situation here. And yet, as I think I remarked last Sunday, and I heard it again last week on the TV, the question came up, and this man is a specialist in social reform. And there are, in the year 2015, where you will see me, there are going to be too many old people for us to support. And then he left it there. That's what man is scheming. Too many old people. They're getting rid of them before they're born. Now they want to go at the other end and get them before they die. Abraham said to his eldest servant that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear to the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, and thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Now, this is very important. We're going to come back to it. The wife must be from his kindred and from his country. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me. Abraham said, that's all right. Abraham said, and verse 6, unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he will send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now verse 8. Suppose the woman doesn't want to come. And Abraham said, you declare of the oath. Verse 10. The servant took 10 camels of his master and departed. All the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening when women came to draw water. And he said, verse 12, O Lord God of my master, I pray thee. Now, you will note, as we have stressed and said, when Abraham gave his orders to the servant, he didn't tell him a word about praying. That was the servant's own recognition for the need of the need for prayer. And don't we need prayer? Remember what we saw last Sunday? You don't pray because you need something. We should pray because we are dependent people. That's why you pray. You don't pray because you need something. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abram, I pray thee, and so forth and so forth. And you remember, the answer to that prayer was immediate and exact. And we saw that we don't always get that kind of prayer. In fact, you're not to expect that answer for most of your prayers. And we saw from Luke chapter 18, the need of prayer. Men ought. It's a medical term. It is the duty and responsibility of every believer to pray. Men ought always. Those pray all the time. And we looked at that. And not faint. You persist in prayer, but you don't faint. But now what we want to look at today is, why is it that some prayers are not answered? You persist and you persist and you persist, and they're still not answered. Unanswered prayer. Why? Well, we've already seen one thing which we need not go over. When we pray contrary to the will of God, He isn't going to answer us. Let's look at that. 1 Kings chapter 19, please. Unanswered prayer. Prayer contrary to the will of God. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 4. Elijah. 1 Kings 19 and 4. Dear old servant of the Lord, wonderful man. You remember he called down fire from heaven and the answer was immediate. Or as we had a teacher in high school who would say, I want the answer immediately or sooner. And we had to have the answer. And so Elijah prayed and the fire came down right away. Now this is the same Elijah. 1 Kings 19 and 4. Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat upon under a juniper tree. Now he's going to pray. He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough, O Lord, I can't take any more. Take away my life. What a prayer. Now when you turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, which chronologically is 10 years later, we read an interesting thing there. 2 Kings 2, and 11. 10 years later, this is the man that said, take my life. I can't take any more. I've had enough. 2 Kings 2, verse 11. It came to... I'll wait till I hear the pages not turning. And I do this, you see, beloved. What I find beautiful is to read the Word of God. Now, here's a man who said, I want to die. Take my life. 10 years later, in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, it came to pass as they still went, that is Elijah and Elijah, and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and of horses and parted them asunder, and Elijah went by a whirlwind up to heaven. And he's the man that prayed to die. I imagine he was glad that the Lord didn't answer that prayer. And so we must pray in the will of the Lord. Now the story is told of a certain man. When he was a young boy, his grandparents were visiting the house. And he saw his grandmother. She left the bathroom door open. I see Jeff is smiling. He knows the story. And there was his grandmother with her false teeth and she was brushing them. He said to himself, that's what I need. I wouldn't have to be bothered so much with all these teeth. Just take them out and clean them. When he was 50 years old, they gave him a little celebration. And he said, you know, there's one prayer that I said when I was a boy, and I'm glad the Lord didn't answer. So that when God does not answer prayer, it is because we pray oftentimes unwisely. Matthew chapter 20, please. And verse 20. Matthew 20 and 20. Our attention was called to this chapter recently in another connection. Matthew 20 and 20. Then came to the Lord the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. He said unto her, what do you want?
She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy kingdom.
She surely wanted the best for her sons. But she was out of order. Next verse, Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you're asking for. And so often we pray and we really don't know what we're asking for. And the best resource when we don't know what we're asking for, Romans 8, let the Holy Spirit take up the prayer. Have you ever come to a point in your prayer, you just don't know what to ask for. You just don't know what to say. Well, don't say anything. And the Spirit, we are told in Romans 8, will present to God what you desire the way God desires it. You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? To be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. You know, sometimes we think we're stronger than we are. I mentioned this humanist that met the bear. And he prayed, Lord, don't help the bear and don't help me. I'll take care of the bear. How about it? We need to be humble in our prayers and be wise in our prayers. Verse 24, the Lord saith unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. We're asking unwisely. Now, I'm a well-known one, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The dear and well-beloved Apostle Paul. And you remember his prayer, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 6. Though I would desire to glory, Paul says, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now don't worry about the thorn in the flesh, what it was. Some say it was bad eyesight, some say, but that's not the point. The point is, it hurt, whatever it was. It was a thorn in the flesh. All you need is a thorn in your finger. And this is a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times. The Apostle Paul, Lord, please rid me of this. And the Lord said, verse 9, you know, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. Praying contrary to the will of God, you can't get an answer. And as I read this, something flashed through my mind. Dear Brother Carter, well, Brother George isn't here, he met him. Craig is on. A man of God. You know what he said one day? He said to me, I believe that God doesn't give his people more and keeps many of them below what they desire, because if they got what they prayed for, they'd forget it. And that's in the book of Deuteronomy. Beware lest when you come into the land and it prospers and produces and you do well, beware lest you forget. And that's why some of us are kept low. Now, another reason why prayer is not answered. Book of James chapter 3. Book of James, chapter 3. Pardon, chapter 4 and verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3. Unanswered prayer. You ask, and you don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Lord, I want another house. Why? well, so-and-so has a house, and his is bigger than mine, and I want a bigger one, so mine will be bigger than his. And if you think that that's not the way some people think, I remember, well, these weren't believers, but some believers think that way. The first physician in the community bought a yacht. 28 feet. I remember the number very nicely. And what do you think the next season, another one bought one, and his was 32 feet. It's just like a bunch of children, though. And then till they got up to 48 and all of those numbers. And sometimes we believers do the same thing. Well, so-and-so, he has 4 bedrooms in his house, and I only have 3. So? Lord, I want another house like his. And that's why we don't get things. We ask amiss to consume them on our own lusts. You couldn't give a divine reason for what you want. Another reason why prayers are not answered, turn with me to John chapter 14, please. Unanswered prayer. Remember in Luke chapter 18, the Lord said, men should always pray. But there's some prayers that are not answered. John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Isn't that nice? Ask anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And yet I pray and pray and pray, and I don't get an answer. I wonder why. Chapter 15, please. Verse 16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring fruit, that your fruit may remain. Now, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. But we have to produce fruit. Are we producing fruit? If we're not producing fruit, then you might as well, you're praying in vain. And I like to think of this fruit as the fruit of the Spirit. Let's turn to that, please. Galatians chapter 5. Now, some of these truths, some of us have gone over before. And some perhaps for the first time. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. Listen to me, but don't look at me. Because I'm going to read this verse the way many people read it. The fruits of the Spirit are. And how your Bible reads? Fine. The fruit of the Spirit is. It's just one fruit like an apple, see? Or like an orange. It has several sections. It has 9 sections, but it's only one fruit. And beloved, wherever one section of that fruit is missing, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. If any one of those 9 things manifested and recorded here is missing, that's some other kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit must have these 9 divisions. We won't go into that. Take John 16 again, coming back to John. The Lord says, if you ask in my name, you will get it. John 16 and 23. And yet you say, well, I pray in the Lord's name, I ask in his name, and I don't get everything that I want. That's true. Verse 23. 16 and 23. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Those are strong statements, aren't they? Well, why is it when we ask for something in his name, so often we don't get it? I'll tell you why. It's not worthy of his name. That's why you don't get it. You may ask in his name, but it has to be worthy of his name. And so if I say somebody offended me, that brother said something that I didn't like, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You can't ask the Lord to bless that. That's not in his name. You can't abuse another brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, beloved, this matter of telling another person your piece of your mind, I remember it was a certain sister. And she said, I'm very outspoken. I just tell people what I think. That's bad. You can't tell a person what you think in the name of the Lord. You can't ask his blessing upon what you're going to say. And as I think I've mentioned this before, as one person has said, don't give anybody a piece of your mind because you need it all for yourself. Don't go around telling people off. And you cannot tell off another believer or anybody in the name of the Lord. You can't do something wrong or ask for something out of the will of God and say, well, I prayed in the name of the Lord. It may not fit the name of the Lord. It has to be up to his divine standard. Another reason for lack of answer to prayer, and we looked at that, lack of persistence. Remember we read it in Luke 11 and Luke 18. This man that wanted a loaf of somebody had visited him, he asked and he sought and he knocked. And sometimes you have to ask, seek, and knock for a long time. You've heard me tell this many times, but I like this story. About a dying mother. She had three sons. Only one was saved. And she said to the saved one, I want you to pray for your two brothers until they are saved. Well, brother number two, he was saved a few weeks after. Grief of mother and so forth. He said, brother number three, oh no. At a prayer meeting one evening, this first brother got up and said, I want you to join with me in thanksgiving. My mother suggested and ordered me to pray for my two brothers. The one after me was saved in a few weeks. I have been praying for the third one for 65 years. Now, have you prayed for anybody? Well, nobody here is 65 years old, so you haven't been praying. 65 years. And today I received a letter from him telling me he took the Lord as Savior. Persistently, you don't stop because you don't get the answer. Now you have to be in the will of the Lord. And we're going to come across that. How do you know that your prayer is in the will of the Lord? We'll take that up. Another reason why prayer isn't answered, lack of faith. Mark 11 and 22, please. Mark 11 and 22. And Jesus answering saith, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what he said, what he saith. Well, now you say, if I go out there and pray for that mountain to move, it's not going to move. Why should it? Why do you want the mountain moved? Just because God can move a mountain at your request, God doesn't work that way. And it isn't so much a physical mountain, but you know as well as I, in our lives, there are things that people can't see and don't know about, and they sure are mountains. Am I right? Yes. Those are the mountains that the Lord is referring to. And if we ask in faith, believing, he'll move the mountains. But it must be in his will. So many people feel this is a physical mountain. You don't go out there and ask the Lord to move the Rocky Mountains. That's nonsense. Why do you think he put them there? They're doing their job. They're doing fine. Our problem, the mountains that we meet in life. And there's, I can tell you some terrible mountains. I can think of some in my life. I won't tell you about them. But, oh, how am I going to get over this, Lord? I can't get over it, and I can't get around it. It's a mountain. And the Lord himself moves it as he sees fit. Now, another reason why there's... Oh, there are some other scriptures along these lines. I'm only giving you one scripture. Another reason for lack of an answer to prayer, disharmony. 1 Peter 3:7. Now, they have a lot of marriage counselors all over the place. A lot of marriage counselors. Beloved, do you know that the best counsel to be found in here is right in this book? Read it in Isaiah. On two occasions, Isaiah tells us that God is the great counselor. You find it in chapter 9, and then again in chapter 63, I think it is. But there are two occasions. If you want counsel, God is the best counselor. These folks around here don't know that much. I sometimes read in the daily paper the counsel that's given. Now, my mother was a better counselor than some of those folks. And she was recognized as such. And she didn't have any degree behind her name either. But she knew the word of God. This is where you get the best counsel. 1 Peter 3. Now, this is good family counsel. For those of you that are already married, and for those of you who are looking forward to marriage, this is good counsel. And you won't have to go to the counselor, and you won't have to go to the judge or anybody else. Let's start at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Oh, my. You mean I've got to do whatever he says? Don't mean that. Because the Lord tells the husband, love your wife. Love her as you love yourself. And if you do, you're not going to ask some impossible request of her or some undesired. Would you want to do what you're asking your wife to do? Now, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now notice this next sentence. That if any husband does not obey the word, that's what he's saying, he may, without a word being said by you, be won to the Lord. That's what that verse is saying. Don't go arguing with him, with each other, tit for tat like two little children playing. Now I'm going to give you some counsel. What's the best way, ladies, to win a man's confidence and make him turn to what you, how you feel? What's the best way? What's the best way to touch a man? Oh, right. The sister has it. A few tears. You'd be surprised what they do. Am I right? Come on. You all are advanced. Am I right? Sure, I know I'm right. And the book tells it to you right here. A few tears. That'll melt his heart. Verse 5. After this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. See that? Adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Oh my. What does that mean? She got down on her knees, Lord. That's not marital relationship. She called him Lord out of respect. You remember when you first married? Those pet names you had for each other? Where are they now? That's what that's saying. The same loving relationship, and with those lovely little names that nobody else knew except the two of you. And now you don't use that anymore. Verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. If you know she likes a certain thing, give her that thing. I remember I was out in Colorado, Denver. And there was a couple there. And this sister was telling me of their early days. They met, they were unsaved when they married. See? Got along fine. Then both got saved. And after a while, the husband began to, she would say, honey, when you go out, bring me so-and-so. And he'd bring something else. Why didn't you bring what I asked for? I brought what's good for you. Oh, my. And she asked the sister in the meeting, I thought when he was saved, things improved. But my husband is changing. And this sister said, give me an example. And she gave an example. She said, oh, I know what's wrong with him. Your husband is talking to my husband. Wrong advice. You're not supposed to live that way. Likewise, ye husbands, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge. If she likes a certain thing, that's what you get. Talk about you getting what's good for her, that's nonsense. It only upsets. Giving now, please. Giving, we discussed this recently. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And I spoke on this one time and brought this verse to the attention of someone. And she says, I don't want to be the weaker vessel. Well, that's your trouble. And that's why all those women want to compete with the men in the business world. Don't want to be the weaker vessel. And it doesn't mean that. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Well, what it says? That your prayers be not hindered. Where there is disharmony and lack of harmony, your prayers are not going to be answered. But let's go back to this weaker vessel. And I like to use this in illustration. I suppose it's true of most of us here. When I was a boy, my mother had, at that time, just the first three of us. And she had some china, those dainty little things, cups and saucers. And by the way, she willed one to each of us, first three. Mine is at home. Vivian will tell you where it is. China. We didn't use the china every day. We use those, I don't know what you call, heavy cups. Not so pretty. That's what we drank our milk and water from. And the glasses the same way. Why didn't Mother let us use the china for everyday use? Why didn't she let us use it for every... You know why? The china was weaker, but it was more expensive. And when the Bible says that you were to treat your wife as the weaker vessel... She's more valuable. That's why you treat her as the weaker vessel. Not because she's inferior. The Bible doesn't teach. You treat your wife as the weaker vessel because she's delicate. She's valuable. That's what that verse is saying. Now, I went astray a little bit to give a lesson in family counseling or marital counsel, whatever you want to call this counsel. But notice what it says here. Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If you're going to start there, sit there and argue back and forth, and talk about your praying, the prayers, you might as well, don't even bother to pray. Your prayers are not going to be answered. All right, that's family counsel. According to the word of God. Lack of harmony. And lack of harmony in the assembly. You find that in Matthew chapter 18, and in James chapter 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 2. Where there's lack of harmony between husband and wife, don't expect your prayers to be answered. You're just wasting time. Another reason why prayers aren't answered, unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, verse 18. It's almost 12:30. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Why prayers
are hindered. Why we don't get answers to our prayers. 66 and 18. We know this from memory, don't we? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me, that's all. I have an unforgiving spirit toward a brother or sister. Can hardly bear to look at them pleasantly, and even to think of them, my pressure rises. Oh, forget it. No point in your praying. You're bearing iniquity in your heart. We must learn to forgive, and then you can forget an answer. Let's turn to the book of Joshua, please. And this we all know well. It's Joshua chapter 6. They had been advised not to take anything of the enemy's goods. And I like the way the Lord speaks. You know about Achan's sin, how he stole the, took what he should not have taken. We don't have to read that, but we know that, don't we? Achan's sin, he took what he should not have taken. And then they went to battle and they lost. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, chapter 7, Joshua. I think I said 6, I was wrong, 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, O God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over to Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side." This is that great man, Joshua. And here he's sort of telling the Lord, "You shouldn't have brought us over. O Lord," verse 8, "what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? The Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. What will you do with your great name?" Verse 10. Look at verse 10. I don't blame you for laughing. "The Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Stop praying." I mean, there are times when you don't pray. There's sin in the camp. And as long as there's sin in the camp, nothing to pray for. Get rid of the sin in the camp. And you read the rest. And you get a similar thought even in the New Testament. Where there's sin in the camp, we're not going to have blessing. You get it in the First Corinthians. Where there's sin in the assembly, you have to take care of the sin question. Another reason for unanswered prayer, broken communion with the Holy Spirit, grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. But I'm going to go to another one. For whom should we pray? Whom should we pray for? You remember the prayer of the little boy, Johnny? "God, bless me." Nope. "Bless Papa. Bless Mama. My sister Mary. Me. Us four and no more." Whom should we pray for? 1 Timothy, please. Chapter 2. "Us four and no more." Oh my. Suppose we all did that. "I exhort therefore," chapter 2, 1 Timothy, verse 1, "that first of all, supplications." The time is gone, so I'm not going to. What is a supplication? Please look that up when you go. What is supplication? Prayers and intercessions. There are three different things. Oh. And giving of thanks. You know, we're an ungrateful bunch of people. You remember when the Lord healed the 10 lepers? And only one came. You know, when I read that, it seems to me that the Lord was very hurt. He healed 10 and only one came back to say thanks. How ungrateful we are. We ask for things, then we get them, and we forget to say thanks. supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for whom? All men. Do you pray for everybody? Do we pray for everybody? We're so well off, we forget the poor in foreign lands, the poor right here. I listen to a program from time to time, Feed the Children. It is amazing the number of underfed children and adults in this nation, not outside, right here, Appalachia and various places. Do you ever pray for them? Then verse 2 says, to pray for kings and all that in our authority. Pray for the president? Have you ever prayed that the president and his wife and daughter would be saved? That's what this is saying. Pray. They need prayer. And those cabinet members, they need prayer, beloved. Let's pray for those in authority. That's what the word is saying. Your congressman, pray for him. Politics is a low, mean business. If you vote with me on this, I'll vote for you on that. Oh. But that's how it works. Terrible. Oh, by the way, how about the policeman on beat in the squad car? The policeman walking. Yeah, he's an authority. Do you ever pray for him? He needs it. Look how they're shooting them down. There is an officer in the car doing his work, and somebody comes from behind and shoots him in the head. He dies, and there's his wife with three children. Those in authority and those in the bank that are watching for the welfare of the customers. We need to learn to pray for all men. And we need to learn to pray that they will be saved, because that is their biggest need. Now, I'm going to stop here. But there's several other things. We need to pray for all men. Our suffering fellow men without food, without clothing, those that have been hit by the hurricanes and the tornadoes hadn't touched us, has it? I wonder why the hurricanes... I'm going to turn to another scripture. I wonder why the hurricanes haven't touched us. Are we better than they? Luke chapter 13, I believe it is. We better pray. Oh, well, that happened to them because they're so wicked. Is that right? Yes, the Lord allowed it to happen to them. 13 years, Luke 13. They're a terrible people. They don't love God, and oh, they're just awful. Their language is awful. So the Lord allowed a hurricane to tear up everything. That isn't necessarily so. Luke chapter 13 and verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, told the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That's a terrible thing. To kill you and then mingle your blood with what's sacrificed. Now the Lord answered, saying, do you suppose that those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Were they more wicked than the other Galileans? I tell you, nay, they were not. That's not the reason. Except you repent, you're going to suffer the same thing. Don't go around here, the Lord punished them because they were so-and-so. We better consider ourselves. Are we so and so? What are we? The same thing that happened to them might happen to us. Verse 3. Verse 4. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, were they worse sinners than above all? Didn't we have recently, in one of these places, I don't remember what it is, where many people congregate and the stairway fell? Was it Virginia? It was nearby. And all these people there, many died, many crushed. Were they worse sinners than we are? Not according to this. I tell you, except you repent, beloved, These are warnings to us. Don't think that something happened to those folks because we are better than they. We better check on ourselves or the same thing may happen to us. Some of the causes for unanswered prayer, and now I'm going to mention these. Kings and those of the power. You do in Ephesians, we are to pray for all saints, even those we don't agree with. How about it? Do you pray for the Baptists? All saints. As I said, even those we don't agree with. And, oh, I like this one. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, pray for all saints. Now, this is Paul. And then Paul says, pray for me. Now, as I've said many times, if Paul needed prayer, Arthur Garns needs it. So if you can't think of anybody to pray for, you just pray for me. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee again for this morning, for this day. How good it is to come into the presence of the Lord and to worship him, to think on him now that it is well with us. We give thee thanks. We thank thee too for the lesson from the book of Acts. We thank thee for our brother who led in that discussion. We thank thee for the growth and the development of the younger men among us. We give thee thanks. And for that which we have been considering, unanswered prayer. Oftentimes it's that we are praying for what the Lord doesn't want us to have. And oftentimes we are praying for that for which he has a better answer. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit who teaches. We are about to leave. Take us to our respective places of abode, please, in peace and safety. Grant thy blessing upon us.